aging matters. Come on, say that with say that with me. Aging matters. And the subtitle is, now you're going to say this with me, finding your calling for the rest of your life. Aging matters, finding your calling for the rest of your life. And in this series, Aging Matters, we're going to be discussing the life transition of retirement and reframing retirement. Reframing retirement as a tool for reevaluating and reassessing our lives. And we're going to talk about some of the questions that retirement raises as you go into that new phase of life, as you make that transition. We're going to talk about the importance of a late life calling. We're going to talk about some of the virtues of later life. We're going to talk about some of the vices and temptations of later life. And we're going to be exploring aging, church, as a spiritual journey. So aging matters, finding your calling for the rest of your life. Now, I was reading some recent studies and on aging. And it's amazing to me that now, according to these recent studies, old age is being put into categories. So if you are 40 to 49, you haven't quite reached yet what is considered old age or the old category yet. You're not there yet. From age 50 to 59, now you are classified from age 50 to 59, according to recent studies, as the youngest old. Now, even from age 60 to 69, they classify you as the young olds. Isn't that nice? The young olds. Now, here we go. From 70 to 79 in the studies, you are classified as the old olds. Now, if you're 80 or above, they classify you as the oldest olds. Recent studies, even classifying old age now. So, church, how do we think about these years as we age, as we go through the aging process? How are we to live through all these phases and transitions as we age? Does your calling, and listen, everyone has a calling, not just people in full-time ministry. That is a misnomer. That is a misunderstanding. Your calling is that thing that summons your life. It sends you signals. It demands something from you. And a lot of you aren't even listening to your calling. Your calling is that thing that summons your life, the thing that gives your life meaning and purpose. Calling and purpose are one and the same. Does your calling end with formal retirement? Because some of you act like your calling ended with formal retirement. Does your calling end with formal retirement? And as you enter later life, is it possible that your calling can find new texture and new form and new possibilities? How do you figure out what to do with the rest of your life? Sometimes retirement from your occupation or what you were getting paid for, what you were getting compensated for, sometimes that is a real trauma in your life. And it can actually produce, though, listen, it can actually produce, that trauma can actually produce a reevaluation of your life. The questions that are raised by retirement can be some of the most important self-assessment tools that you'll have for the rest of your life. It can cause you to ask questions. It can cause you to ask questions like, what have I really done with my life up to now? What have I really done? What contribution to family, to the kingdom of God, to the rising, to the church, to this vision, what contribution do I still want to make? What is the meaning of my life? What am I actually living for now? What is most important in my life now? These are all questions, that evaluation questions that can come up with this type of transition in your life, retirement. Does your calling just end with formal retirement? Because, church, that is the way some of us live. And I want you to realize this, that no matter what your age, in any moment, listen, in any moment, you could meet the call of God again, anew and afresh. So there can be that moment, no matter what your age, that you can feel like you're starting over, like you're beginning again. But who wants to begin again at 60 or 70 or 80? But listen, that's the power of a moment. When you're on the road of life and you meet again the call of God, no matter what your age. Saul was riding down the Damascus road, minding his own business on the road of life, on his beast, and all of a sudden he was knocked off his beast, and in that moment he met the call of God anew and afresh. That's the power of a moment. When you meet that call of God again, afresh and anew. And I really want to motivate you today and get some of you out of your funk. See, as you are aging, it makes a change in the meaning and purpose we are seeking in life. What had great importance before doesn't seem to have the same significance or importance now. And even with that change, even with those kind of changes, your calling continues. There's a continuation of your calling in life, even if the work you were compensated for stops. So while the calling may continue, watch, the calling will continue, but the expression of that calling is what changes. And sometimes it radically changes as we grow older. See, your calling remains constant, but the manifestation of that calling will change, and sometimes it radically changes. Now listen, that's why at 78, just throw that age out. At 78, that's why at 78, you can still feel like you're in a place of finding out what you want to do with your life. At 78, you know why? That's because there's still something inside you that God wants to deposit here. That's why you feel that way. So that's why you feel that way. So don't take that as something negative. Oh, I've done nothing with my life. What am I going to do? I still feel like I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. That's because God sees something on the inside of you that he still wants to deposit here. Look at the fact. Look at it like this. Don't look at it negatively. Look at it at the fact that once again, you are going to be on a journey. You are joining others in a journey again of discovering more of God, discovering more about you and how you were made. Understand there's still something in you that God wants to deposit here, that God wants to deposit in others. You know, church, I have a real sensitivity in my spirit this morning to time. And I'm going to tell you why. With what I have been through personally over the last 25 years and even in the last 2 months, with all that I see happening in our body, I stand before you today with an acute sensitivity to the time that we spend here on Sunday. I'm just very sensitive to the time. You know why? Because, church, we are spending precious time this morning that we will never see again. And we will never be able to recover this time we are spending here this morning. So I want to make sure that what we do in this time is not wasted. And that it has some type of value. That it has some type of eternal value. Because listen to me. The greatest tragedy in life, I believe two things. The greatest tragedy in life is wasted time and wasted potential. It's a tragedy. I've said this to you before when I was teaching on purpose, and I'm going to say it again, that I have come to the conclusion, church, that the wealthiest place on this planet is not the gold mines of South Africa. It's not the wealthiest place on this planet is not the oil fields of Iran. The wealthiest place on this planet is not the palaces in the Far East, or it's not the uranium deposits around the world. Church, the wealthiest place on this planet is the cemetery. The cemetery. You know why? Because in the cemetery, there's nothing but buried dreams and buried goals and buried ideas and buried aspirations and buried vision and buried potential that never came to fruition. People died young and old. They died pregnant with unrealized potential. You know, people think because they're young, that they have all this time to waste. Listen to me, you don't have any time to waste. And if you're older, you certainly don't have any time to waste. The graveyard is so rich. If we mined up the graveyard today, it would change the world overnight. It's so rich. Just suppose Michelangelo died with the Sistine Chapel in his mind. Just suppose Tchaikovsky died with all that music in his mind. Just suppose the Apostle Paul died with all those letters in his mind. I have a question for everybody this morning. And I don't care what age you are, whether you're 20 or 90. I have a question for you this morning. Will you contribute to the wealth of the graveyard? Will you die with your dream, your vision, I mean your ideas, your purpose unfulfilled? Will you die not having walked in your calling? I mean, will you die not having deposited anything in the kingdom of God? I mean, will you die with so much unrealized potential buried with you? That's why, church, if you're 50 or 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, whatever age, and you still feel like you're in a place of still finding out what you want to do with your life, it's because there's something on the inside of you that God wants to deposit here. He wants you to leave it here. He don't want you to take it to the graveyard. There is another expression of your calling that God wants you to leave here. That God wants you to deposit here. So if you feel that way, if you feel like you're still trying to find out what you want to do with your life, don't take it again. Don't take it as negative. Look at it as you once again are on a journey of discovering more about God, more about how God made you. Let's look at calling for a second, because there's some misunderstandings about calling. Calling is just another word for vocation. In the Latin, it's voco or vocatio. It means call or calling. Unfortunately, the common English usage of vocation has become equated with occupation. But listen, church, there's more to vocation or calling than one's occupation. You can retire from your occupation, whether it's through necessity, whether it's through ill health, whether you're being forced out or you reach a certain age, you can retire from your occupation, but you don't retire from your vocation or your calling. You don't retire from your calling. Hey, you choose a career, but one is chosen for a calling. You get that? You choose the career, but you are chosen for a calling. So if we're all called to something, then we're all the callees, okay? And if we're the callees, there must be a caller. And the caller is the divine creator. The caller is God. God is the caller. Listen, even when people don't believe in God, or whether you're someone of a various faith persuasion, all are called because God calls everyone, whether they know the origin of the call or not. How many times have you heard people say, man, I feel like I was born for this. This is what I was born for. Or they say, this is what I was meant to be or do. They may not know the origin of their calling, but they know they have found and discovered what they were born to do. So because you have a calling, church, that has different expressions, you can get a new direction after retirement. And that can legitimately be called a second career even. Because it's taken up because you want to do it, not because it's required by the demands of a corporation or a profession or a trade or an organization. This is something you want to do. I mean, some people take up writing. What they've always wanted to do, right? Or painting, what they've always wanted to do. Some people take up gardening or woodworking. My uncle is 91, and he still teaches a class in his church. And for 10 years, he took up gardening. And now he has the whole neighborhood coming to his garden, handing out tomatoes and this and that, giving to his neighbors all kind of food. That wasn't his occupation. That's part of his calling, though. He continued in his calling even after his occupation disappeared. Now, for some of us, because of the restrictions of our vocation, and of course, everyone has to earn a living. Because of those restrictions of your vocation, many of you, watch, have talents and gifts that have been dormant inside you. In other words, church, the talents and gifts lie dormant in order for you to develop just the few that you needed for job success. You see? And now you're in the second half of life, or you're in the third of life. And in order for you to move toward a more complete human fulfillment, what that involves is a reawakening in you of everything that for a long time you had to sacrifice to career or occupation. Now, let me say something about discovering a late life calling, because I hope you're really getting this, because I really, honestly want to motivate you in such a positive way toward God and toward the kingdom. let me say something about discovering a late life calling. We all ask God for his will. God, show us your will. We ask to know the will of God, but we don't realize that his will is written into our very being. You understand that? It's written on our hearts. Eternity, the writer says in Ecclesiastes, is written on my heart. His will, church, is written in the very fiber of your being. How do we discover a late life calling or a different expression of that? I'm going to give you some practical things on how to discover a late life calling or a different expression of that calling. Number one, you must go back to your essential or primary motivation. What is the primary motivation that motivates you to do anything? Because God guides us by investing in our essential or primary motivation. Everybody has a primary motivation for what they do. Right? Some people's primary motivation is to design and build. That's their primary motivation. Some people's primary motivation is to fix things or bring it to perfection. For some other people, their primary motivation is to overcome opposition. That was the Apostle Paul's primary motivation when he wasn't a Christian and when he was a Christian. It didn't matter. That was still his motivation, to overcome opposition. Same motivation, different expression. Some people's primary motivation is to care for others. God has made us all with a primary motivation to work and serve in a particular way. And what brings joy to you is such a powerful indication of what God has designed you to be and to do. Think about that. What brings joy to you? Your essential or primary motivation or your central motivating pattern is consistent throughout your life. The 5-year-old boy that nurses a wounded bird back to health is the one at driving an ambulance at 35 and working in emergency services. You see, it's consistent throughout your life. Because that central motivation in your heart, that central motivating pattern is consistent throughout your life. So you got to look at that again. You got to look at what is my primary motivation. In order to discover that life calling or discover another expression of that calling, you must go back to your essential or primary motivation. Number two, every one of you in here has gifts and talents that were given to you by God, and through those gifts and talents, he's going to guide you into the expressions of your calling. You know, our gifts and talents normally don't change throughout our life. They don't change. Some of those gifts in us may have been neglected and can be brought out of storage in our senior years. Often maybe in the form of a hobby or even a second career. So you got to take a look at your gifts and talents. God has given all of you a personality. And that does not change substantially during our lifetime. I hear people say all the time when they've gone through an experience of conversion. This is what they say. Charlie, God has completely changed my personality. No, actually what spiritual conversion does, it releases your personality from the bondages that stifled your real personality. It don't change your personality. It releases it from the bondage of sin, from any bondage that stifled it. That's a conversion experience. I wasn't supposed to preach, and you weren't supposed to talk back. This was a TED Talk. We're filming this. At least they'll see we have a rowdy crowd. Church, when you're trying to discover a late life calling, you got to go back and look at what has been your primary motivation all your life. You got to go back and look at your gifts and talents, and you have to understand and see if any of these gifts and talents have been hidden and not used. And you got to look at your personality, a real honest assessment and look at your personality. Number four, you got to understand that circumstances significantly shape your sense of calling. Your birth, your family background, your education, your work experiences, your physical capacities or physical limitations, your emotional capacities or emotional limitations. This is all a significant part of discovering how to discern your calling. Your calling to belong and your calling of what you are to be and do. Church, God is leading you through all of this. Your primary motivation, your gifts and your talents, your personality, your circumstances, your family background, your education, your work experiences, your physical capacities or limitations, your emotional capacities or limitations. He is leading you through all of these guidelines. Now, finally, sometimes God will just lead you directly. He speaks to you through a profound impression in your imagination, an impression that does not go away. It just does not go away. He speaks to you through that. Or He can speak to you through a specific word or scripture that just leaps off of the page for you. The title of this teaching is Aging Matters, and the subtitle is Finding Your Calling for the Rest of Your Life. And I'm just thinking, standing here, that you really cannot do that. Because discerning your calling, watch, is a lifetime process. You might have thought you had it all figured out at 20, 30, or 40. But life seems to throw us a lot of curveballs and transitions and the transitions we have to make in life. And church, it's important that you re-engage in the process of discerning your calling. It's a lifelong process. And it's especially important to re-engage at these important transitions in your life, such as retiring from a career or occupation that you were compensated for. Because your calling remains the same throughout your life, but the expression of it changes. Different transitions, different phases of life calls for a different expression of your calling. Within your calling or within your purpose, because again, calling and purpose are the same. Within that calling, life is full of adjustments. It's full of decisions. It's full of, watch, redirections. It's full of mistakes and even second chances, no matter what age you are. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Psalm 92. Because Psalm 92 is very countercultural to how we view aging and old age in America. Okay, Psalm 92. I want us to read this as we close this first teaching. Look at verses 12 to 15. Come on, read it with me. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him." The psalmist here is using images to describe old age. And these images are quite different, church, from the images presented by our culture today. If I was to take you through, and I don't have time because this would take a long time. If I was to take you through the Old Testament and the New Testament and study some of the lives of the older saints and see what the scripture says about the process of growing older and how these saints, how they saw aging and how they handled aging. And if we could see what we could learn from that study, from the older saints in the Old and New Testament, if I was able to take the time to do that, here's a few things, a few themes that we would have learned. First, we would have found out that none of them abandoned their calling in old age. None of them. Like those folks in the scripture, listen, you may retire from what you did to earn a living or what you were compensated for. You may retire from your career or your occupation, but you do not retire from your calling. None of them in the scripture abandoned their calling in old age. Number two, we would have found out, and you're not going to like this, we would have found out that old age or getting older or aging did not solve outstanding personal flaws in their lives. Watch, it usually aggravated. Because, listen, aging doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. I'll leave that there. I'll leave that there for now. I may expound on that next week. But aging doesn't necessarily equate to wisdom. And when your personal flaws are even more exaggerated and aggravated as you age, you didn't get a lot of wisdom. You don't have a lot of wisdom to pass on. Mm-hmm. Number three, watch this. The people we would have studied in the Old and New Testament, watch, they were active in ministry in their senior years. Although, obviously, in appropriate ways, given their health or their physical or mental stamina. They didn't stop, though. They were still active. And watch number four, because this is where I want us to come to as an aging people. They received fresh revelation of God in their senior years. All the saints of the Old Testament and New Testament, they received fresh revelation of God in their senior years. They remained open for newness in their relationship with God. In other words, they, Psalm 92, they stayed fresh and green. I've ran into, in my years here, a lot of unfreshness and no green. I don't want us to be. I want people to come in here. Woo, these people, these older folks are fresh and green. My goodness. They still bear fruit in their old age. They stayed fresh and green. Fresh and green. Fresh and green. That's going to be our motto, fresh and green. Welcome to the church of fresh and green. Because we are open to the revelation of God. We are open to examining some things maybe we used to believe that may not be in God's vision for us now. We're open to that. We're open to change. Because God may not want us to do it like we always did it. We stay fresh and green.
Yes.
Come on, your job is to show the younger generation that's coming up how to stay fresh and green. Fresh and green. Come on, say fresh and green. Say it again, fresh and green. These saints in the Old and New Testament, listen, they didn't abandon their calling in old age. They remained open to different expressions of their calling. They understood that just getting older does not mean your personal flaws are going to go away. They understood that. They understood, listen, that it's going to take more than just getting older. And they remained open to being fresh and green. They remained open to being fresh and green. Church, they remained open to receiving fresh revelation from God that just might change how they see and experience God. And they remained open to newness in their relationship with God. Even in a natural relationship, if there's no newness, if it's the same year after year, it's not fresh and green. It's gone. Yes, it's gone. Ooh, watch. They didn't stay. Watch. You ready? They didn't stay stuck in their ways because they were older. I said, in the saints of the Old Testament and New Testament, if you really study them, the older ones that were aging, you're going to find out they didn't stay stuck in their ways because they were older and use that same old excuse, well, we did it that way for the last 40 years. I'm not changing now. Stay fresh and green. Fresh and green. Hashtag fresh and green. When you greet me next week, I want you to say, hello, Pastor, I'm fresh and green. I'm going to remain fresh and green. You remain fresh and green, nobody will care how old you are. Nobody even know how old you are because you automatically look younger. You'll feel younger. You stay fresh and green. We can't submit this to TED Talk. This is preaching. TED Talk, you got to stand. You're supposed to stand and teach. Okay. All right, where am I? They stayed fresh and green, church. They didn't stay stuck in their ways because they were older. They stayed fresh and green, and they understood this. They understood that aging itself is a continuous spiritual journey. And you know what, church? This is where we're going to pick up and start next week. Aging as a spiritual journey. Can you give God praise today for aging matters? Come on, as our music team comes back, raise your hands. Raise your hands and say, I promise that I'm going to do my best to stay fresh and green. Fresh and green. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap this morning.
What will you sing after that?